There, and the farmer said, "We need rain." So I went to praying for rain, and nobody ever told me to stop. Amen. It sounds cocky, but you know, I believe if you go to a prayer meeting for rain, you ought to take an umbrella with you. Amen. So, all right, let's see what God will do with this thing tonight. Amen. And we're going to be in Nehemiah in the first chapter. I appreciate everyone, what they do around here. Your pastor's a good man, Brother Andy's been a friend of mine for a lot of years. I love him. I appreciate him. I thank God for the effort up here. I remember preaching one of the last revivals in the old building down there. I said, that piece of ground up there, y'all can sit there and look at it 10 years from now, or y'all can go get busy, let God put a building up there, amen, and see God do something. And God's done everything God says he'll do, amen. Brother Sam, I know y'all got an effort on the camp that you're working on, and whatever you're going to do with it, just do it for the glory of God. And I promise you, I'll bring you a check tomorrow night. How about that? Amen. And we'll help you out with that. We'll just bring you a check. And it's according to how it goes tonight, how big the check is. Amen. You sit over like you've been at your mother-in-law's house or got out of the IRS office. That's what I thought. Amen. It don't even matter if it's good or not. Amen. You say, you pay a man to shout. I've seen a day I would pay good money for somebody to blink their eyes. Amen. Just any form of life would have been a blessing to me. Those are the kind when I used to tell my wife that my wife's not with me tonight, but James knows my signals, and he's got the keys to the truck. And when it gets real bad and you start all the, I start the signals, that means everybody's going to stand up and bow their head for prayer, and I'm leaving. You say, we won't pay you. Well, my life's worth more than whatever you're going to give me, amen. So, amen. But my wife wasn't able to make it tonight. I was going to try to make it this week. And I had a test earlier this week, and I guess I passed it. I don't know. It was a medical test, amen. But anyway, I didn't even have to study for it. But I wasn't able to make it. And then last night we started a group called the grief support group at our church called Victory in Jesus Grief Support. And had 15 people there, and I heard 15 different burdens, heavy burdens, and stuff about my own church folks that in 15 years I didn't even know. And it really helped some folks. It helped me. It helped all of us. So, man, I'm about ready to preach. I know you wish I'd shut up and go ahead and preach. When I get to preaching, you may want me to start talking some more. Amen. So just talk about something else. So anyway, I was trying to, if my socks don't match, it's because our dryer, people said, is it electric or gas? And I said, no, it's sock operated. I swear that thing eats socks because I can't find... I've got more socks up there in one drawer and they're all the mismatches. And I also got to thinking about trying to carry clothes, and I thought, you know, I believe God is the only person that can carry a load of clothes and not drop a sock or a wash rag. That makes me madder than anything. Go through the house with a whole load of clothes and you look back and there's always a sock falls. Y'all ever think about stuff like that? Yeah, it just drives me crazy. I know I'm weird, but that's all right. Amen. I ain't going to tell you who, but somebody said you're weird too, so. Nehemiah in the first chapter. First chapter. Now, they built this wall for a reason, and we're going to see that, of course, in the book of Nehemiah tonight. But in the first chapter, and I'm going to skip down to verse 3 and 4, and when we get to words that I can't pronounce, I didn't spend all day trying to figure out how to pronounce it to impress you. I'm here to preach. But my daddy had a teacher back in the '40s, '50s, whatever. And he said the guy was uneducated, and he was trying to teach him. And he said every time he got to a word he didn't know, he called it wagon wheel. So if I say wagon wheel, that just means I can't pronounce that name. Amen? Amen. And they said unto me, the remnant that are, verse 3 of the first chapter, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there, the province are great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned a certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, just help me tonight, God. I pray for your power on this message tonight, God. We need you in a mighty way. Lord, I pray I'll be a help to these folks, God. Somebody came in here needing the best message they've ever heard. And God, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you just put the power in this thing. God, help me speak, Lord, the words that you'd have me to speak tonight. And I thank you for this place. I thank you for this pulpit tonight that you put me in. And for the pastor calling me up here. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I'm going to preach a message tonight simply and called Rebuild the Wall. I'm not going to get in politics. People at our church always said, well, now you shouldn't bring politics into the pulpit. And so I walk down there on the floor and I tell them what I think about politics. Amen. It's poly means, we're going to break a word up. Poly means a bunch. And ticks are bloodsuckers. I'm for term limits, amen. I'm for one term in office and one term in prison, say amen. But rebuild the wall, amen. I'm not talking about building a wall. That wall had already been built. And that foundation was still there. You can't tear up that foundation. Somebody help me. You may knock some walls down, but that foundation is still there. Another foundation no man laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, when I got saved, there was a foundation laid, amen. Amen, that chief cornerstone. But now that wall that I've been building for some 20-something years, boy, I'm telling you right now, I've worked on that thing, lay a block every little bit, just keep laying a block every little bit. And them guys and I got up here and they got to doing that, and I wanted y'all to watch them do it. Because you've seen how they'd look and think, well, I'm going to put this one this way, and I'm going to put this one this way. And listen, that's our testimony. That's a wall of faith. That's a fruit of the Spirit, amen. Let's look at that tonight as that being your individual wall. Whether it's Ethan's wall, whether it's Charlie's wall, it's your own individual wall. Somebody help me. Now, tonight we're going to look at your own wall tonight. You know what? That prodigal son, he come back home and his wall had been knocked down. But thanks be to God, the foundation was still up there. Ain't you glad that the Father didn't change locks on you when you went away? Oh, help me now. I'm glad he didn't change the locks or the address or anything. I was able to come back, go to work on my wall. It takes years to build them walls. It takes years to build them walls. And it takes about 1 second to start destroying that wall. One bad move, one bad decision, one bad whatever starts knocking walls down. He went through a lot of trouble to put them up there, and I took my knee and barely bumped it and knocked them down. You realize that's how important your testimony is? You realize that? And he took a little bit of the fruit of the Spirit. He took some joy and some faith and some love and gentleness and kindness and long-suffering, and he worked on that and said, man, I want a wall. I got to have a wall. Well, I got to thinking about that for a little bit, and I got to think about rebuilding that wall. And let me say three things about walls first as I set this up. Number one is walls protect. We use walls for protection. The Bible said in Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God and my strength in whom I trust. He's my fort, amen. He's my fortress. He's my protection, amen. If you don't believe it, when Job, amen, when he said, you've got a hedge around Job, I can't touch him. Devil said, I can't touch him. And God said, listen, he said, as long as he's got that hedge around him, I can't do a thing to him. Living behind the wall. But he said, boy, if I could get that wall down, I'd get them. That way he said, they didn't have to tear down the Great Wall of China. They said, all we got to do is pay off one guard. Amen. The walls protect. You know those walls at my home, those brick walls at my house tonight, at 49 Emma Lane, my wife's there tonight. And she'll be in that house by herself with the doors locked. Those walls protect my wife. And you know what? Walls, why they're so important to me is because there's something real important inside there. That's my home. Don't come in my wall. Don't come in those walls if you don't knock or call ahead of time. Because my alarm sounds like a Glock. And there's a reason it sounds like a Glock, because that's going to be the last sound you hear. I'm not paranoid and I'm not crazy. But I will protect my wife, and I will protect my home. Amen. That's a promise. Amen. But the walls, not only they protect, but they separate. Walls separate. This wall right there separates us from that room right over there. Ain't you glad your bathroom's got walls around it? Somebody help me. Walls separate. Amen. Somebody got excited about that. Walls separate, don't they? You know, and that's what walls do. 2 Corinthians 6:17, where it says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto me. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. So sometimes walls do a good thing as separating us. I'm glad there's some walls at times that my testimony was with me, and it separated me from another group. It separated light from darkness. It separated the lost from the saved, amen. If you don't believe that, heaven's going to be all about light, and hell's going to be all about darkness. And if you don't believe that wall separated, God said there's a great gulf between the two. I'm amen. I appreciate it. Amen. A good old healthy. That's right, preacher. But you know what? As long as I'm writing this book, I know I'm right. Amen. But I'm thankful for your encouragement tonight. I tell you, walls separate. Walls don't just separate. But down at church, sometimes I'd look around there and I'd be like, I'd be talking to Tom, some of them guys at church. I'd look up and I'd go, why can't we just go ahead and take that wall right there out and do this with it? But every time, there's one thing we have to consider. Sometimes we look at them walls and say, are they a load-bearing wall? Ain't you glad that there's a wall that is a weight-bearing wall tonight? Ain't you glad there's some walls in this building that are weight-bearing that can hold up that upstairs? Amen. I'm telling you that God, amen, can hold us up. Amen. He said, cast your care upon him. He shall sustain thee. I thank God for a weight-bearing wall. Amen. I thank God for walls. Sometimes walls are weight-bearing. Sometimes the only reason a wall's there is to hold up what's above it. Ain't you glad God? Amen. He's doing a good job of it too, may I say. Sometimes the only thing keeps you, amen, from being in a place you ought not be and going through some tragedy, keeps you from being places you shouldn't, is a wall, is a load-bearing, a weight-bearing wall, amen, of faith and joy and peace and long-suffering God. Those are the things that gets me through every day. I wouldn't pastor 5 seconds if it wasn't for the fruit of the Spirit, a wall that could hold some weight, because Kurt Howard can't do it. People say, well, now you know God won't put more on you than you can bear. That's straight out of hell. I don't care if it's Martha Jean version. That's my mom's name. There's some things in this world that's Martha Jean, and the other things are King James. Help me. Martha Jean said, you know, that if you watch TV too close, that you'll get radiation and it'll mess you up. Don't eat the first snow. It's got radiation. It'll mess you up. She always said, if you ain't careful, you get ptomaine poisoning. Is anybody in here old enough to help me out tonight and say, I've heard that stuff? That's Martha Jean version. But I'm giving you some King James version tonight. And I'm telling you, thanks be to God, amen, that he can bear. And they say, well, now you know he won't put more on you than you can bear. Well, you never would have got saved then. If he never put more on you than you can bear, you never would have got saved. But he put, every day he put so much on me, I realize that we're to bear our own burden. I realize we're to bear each other's burdens. That goes from 2 legs to 4 legs can bear. But there's a time when even that can't bear. And that's when you cast it upon the Lord, amen. He'll put more on you than you can bear. That's why I got saved. If you've ever vomited, that's more than I can bear. Amen. I'm not any good at it. And I scream out to God every time I get nauseated. That shows me he'll put more on you than you can bear. Because if you say you can bear that, something's weird about you. And you need to go to the doctor Monday. Maybe go to an ER tonight. Number one. In the preaching here in verse 3 and 4, and we've done looked at these, we've done read through these, the text here tonight. Number one, I want you to notice is recognition. He recognized something was wrong. He recognized something's wrong. You know, we can keep coming into church and sitting down and putting on a little smile on our face and amen the preacher and sing our songs and play our instruments and clean the floors and do this and set up everything, turn the lights on. We can go through all the motions in the world. But I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a day you're going to walk through them wall, them doors right there, amen, and you're going to walk through there and say, something ain't right. Something spiritually just ain't right. I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I used to be. And said, listen, I've got a burden. Nehemiah's burden should have been a burden that was borne by others, but instead he was the only one right there at that time in that scripture sitting there in the presence of the king and said, listen, what's wrong with you, Nehemiah? And he recognized that something wasn't where it used to be. And we just keep on singing the songs. We just keep on doing what we do, pass the place, do a devotional, and go to the house. Right. Yeah. Go ahead. If you came in Sunday morning and the lights didn't work, somebody would go in the breaker room and make sure the breakers are all on. That's where I'd start at. And then somebody get a hold of the treasurer and see if you paid your bill. You go through a lot of different emotions. But we'd do something. But when we come in and God ain't with us, we just go through the same old thing and just never recognize the fact that something ain't right. I like it when somebody comes in on Sunday morning first thing and realizes something don't seem right. And they crawl up in that altar and start praying and saying, God, something ain't right, amen. Recognition can help you. It can help your church. And I'm telling you right now, see, these guys think their wall's perfect. But all of a sudden, Ethan starts to recognize, well, they something's going on. Something ain't right. My joy is depleted. I've always said, I can't teach, I can't really show you this scripture other than here in Nehemiah, over here in Nehemiah 8, where he says, the strength of the Lord, or the joy of the Lord is our strength. It made me think that every time he knocks our joy away, when you lose your joy, now listen good, when you lose your joy, I think all the rest of them nearly rest on joy. Because your long suffering isn't any good without joy. Your goodness and gentleness, meekness, temperance, are they any good without joy? When my joy's down, I'm a mess. Kurt Howard walks in that church every Sunday morning. And I get there early, and I go in there and start getting my stuff ready, and I get my crying over with. I get my resignation letters written out and all that stuff. I come in there, and I've always told our preacher boys that's come out of our church that I've had the opportunity to help teach them. And I said, listen, don't you ever crawl in that pulpit with your bottom lip dragging the ground like a pair of old dirty shoelaces. Don't ever go in there and go, I'm just so burdened, because then everybody in there is going to, their joy, they came in up here and you've already took them down. I know we have bad days. If you're going to do it on Sunday night while you got your folks that can handle it. But somebody's going to walk in Sunday morning that had a gun in their mouth before they got there. Somebody's going to come in there that just got out of a bad weekend and reverted back to what they was. Amen. A drunk. Somebody just walked in that church that needs some joy, that needs a preacher that's helping them, amen. And when I'm down and I don't got no joy, I'm not helping nobody, amen. If the joy of the Lord's our strength, I'm exactly right in saying what I just said. I have, God don't give me no space of grace to come in Sunday morning and just say, well, I'm just down, pray for me. Everybody's just snotting and crying. And I understand there's a time to laugh, a time to cry. I understand that we mourn. But doggone it, Brother John, we're going to dictate the service, whether you know it or not, and whether I know it or not. Somebody in there deserves the best message that Kurt Howard's ever preached in his entire life. Their livelihood depends on me as a pastor of that church. Through the Holy Ghost calling, through the Holy Ghost unction, through the and your wall might have got, maybe Saturday night, maybe your wall got just a few blocks knocked out of it. Maybe the devil said, you ain't that bad. And you come crawling in Sunday morning and said, Brother Matt, my wall, it just ain't where it's supposed to be. But see, recognition is the most important. That's the start of it. But the recognition, it don't stop there. In verse number 6, I want you to look at something down here. And let thine ear hear now and be attentive, and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, and for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, that we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. See, the next thing happened was the reason. You want to know why the wall's starting to fall? Every time, sin. Go out there and look where you shouldn't look. David had his wall on top of the roof, and he still had a pretty solid wall. But he tarried behind. Then he looked over at a woman over there. Bad enough, but he got his binoculars out. Bad enough, he said, I need her phone number. Bad enough, he got on Facebook, and he started sending messages to her. Bad enough, then he said, hey, won't you come on over? He had a solid wall because he was dancing for the Lord. I preached a message, when you lose your dance moves. Sometimes I call it dancing or glancing. Sin starts to destroy your wall. Why was that wall destroyed and they went into captivity? Somebody help me out. Because of the sin of the people. He didn't give no other excuses. There was nothing else you can say about this. You can say all you want to. But in 2 Kings 25:10, it says, an army of the Chaldees that were there with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jericho round about. And the Bible says that it was because of their sins. And I'm going to try to turn to 2 Chronicles right quick. And boy, I just turned right over. 2 Chronicles 36. And I want to show you something. I can't hardly keep from this. I'm just getting lathered up. I'm starting to smell smoke. And that's when I start really preaching. You seen them people on them survival shows, when they start spinning a stick trying to make fire, they kind of get discouraged. But as soon as they start smelling smoke, they spin faster. When I start to smell smoke in God's house, amen, it starts making me want to just spin a little bit faster, amen. You say, we can't understand you now. Well, what you do understand, you'll get it, amen. But look in 36, verse 14. And the Bible said, moreover, the chief, the priest, the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by the messengers. I believe God's always sent a man. He didn't send a team. He didn't send a bunch of deacons. He didn't send the pillars of the church. He didn't send all the trustees. He didn't send a bunch of women. He sent men, messengers, rising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people in the dwelling place. You know what's going to fix this problem in America? Preaching! Send a man! These little old thin-skinned now, whispering, scared to death. They know Greek and Hebrew, but that's all they know. They don't know how to get down in there, amen, where they need to and help people. They don't know nothing about that stuff. Verse 16 says, but they mocked. See, we got a conjunction. But's a conjunction. I watched that on TV when I was little. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? It's good that God sent us some help. He sent y'all some help. He sent Sappho some help. But you know what it said they did? But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets till the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there were no remedy. You want to know what happened to the wall? Sin. They wouldn't listen to the man of God. They wouldn't listen to the man of God and say, listen, Charlie, I'm telling you, listen, Ethan, y'all listen to me. If you ain't careful, it took you a long time to build that up and it'll take me just a second to knock it down. You better protect what you got. God got you out of something, out of somewhere, and God gave you a wall. A wall took you years, years of faith, years of serving him in faithfulness, years of study, years of praise, years of all the fruit, and the last thing you want to do is let the devil knock it down in one night. One night your testimony can be squat. Amen. The reason was sin. They wouldn't listen. The next thing was the response, though, in chapter 2, in verse 5 it says, and they said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. My goodness, folks, there was a response. He didn't say, well, we'll pray about it and put you on our prayer list. He didn't say, well, I'll do best I can when I ain't busy. Well, I'll keep you in my thoughts and prayers. Don't you get my thoughts and prayers, just pray for me. Don't worry about the thoughts. Amen. Every time you think, pray. That's the best way I can put it. But see, what happened was here in chapter 2, in verse number 12, I like this. But he said that I may build it. Look in chapter 2. Now he goes to the wall in chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And it says there, and I rose in the night. I don't even have to read all the rest of the scriptures. You can read it sometime when you get a chance. Wouldn't it have been easier to go evaluate a wall that's been broken down in the daytime? I wonder why he went in the night. You know what I think? I think it was by faith. I think he knew that wall was down. He didn't have a LED light bar on top of his camel or donkey or whatever on that beast of donkey. He didn't have a big LED bar. He didn't have a bunch of lights. He went out there and I believe he saw one rock knocked down. He saw one stone down. And he said, my goodness, this ain't good enough. It's a mess, amen. And I've got a burden for it. And he saw it by faith. It's by faith that we come in here and sit on a pew and say, my goodness, my testimony's falling to pieces. And nobody else is going to care about it like I care about it. Nehemiah didn't say, well, where's everybody at? Where can we call in the government? We got to get FEMA here. We got to get them here. We got to get help down here. No, he said, I got a burden and I'm going to it. If King, if you allow me, I've got a burden by faith. I'm looking at a wall that's on the ground. Even though you know good and well, if all he had was a flame, a torch, it still wasn't really to see the full wall. But he had a burden. He said, listen, when I've got something on my heart, it don't mean Charlie, and it don't mean Matt, and it don't mean James, and it don't mean anybody else in this room knows that I got that burden. But we always want to go, if you guys will just pray for me and help me, we'll do. You know what sometimes you need to do is say, listen, I'm going to work on this, and if y'all want to be a part of it, get on with it, amen. Yeah. That sounds bad, but that's what we got to have, attitude. Listen, pastors, if we sit around and wait for somebody else to always prop us up and help us up and pump us up, I tell you what you do, you'll fail, amen. Sometimes by faith, a pastor's got to walk in there and get in that pulpit and just rear back and preach the gospel and say, God's led me. The response was evaluated by faith. Now you can start checking by faith tonight and say, well, it seems like I'm missing a few blocks. Seems like I got some cracks in the mortar. It seems like some corners are knocked off. The response was he evaluated by faith, but he said, let's build that thing back. In verse or chapter number 3, verse 1 there, it says, and Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren and the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. The only reason I said that was, ain't that something, Andy, the first one it mentioned that went and helped him? The priest? Where'd he go start at? Sheep gate. He said, my goodness, face one thing means something to me. I guarantee you guys, y'all go work on the Watergate and everything else, amen. Y'all go do what y'all need to do. But as for me and my house, we go into the sheep gate because we want that place of sacrifice where they bring those lambs in without blemish, without spot. Hey, the one thing means something more to me than anything. It's a lamb without blemish and the lamb without spot. And I want to make sure somebody can get in Maple Springs this Sunday, amen. I'll make sure that sheep gate is in good shape. Y'all go down there and start down there. I'm going to start right here. You know what means more than anything to me in our church? Is a pulpit. That pulpit of wood in Maple Springs, I'll protect it. I'll fight for it. I told the church I went there. I said, you got a vote on everything around here, I reckon, but you don't got no vote on this little spot right here. It's mine. It's chosen ground. I ain't being a jerk. I'm telling you, I'm a man of God, and I'm the man they called to be the man of God. I'm the man to lead that church, and I figure I need to take care of my pulpit. If I wait for suggestions and put a little suggestion box by it and let everybody text me and Facebook me and tell me what I ought to do, I'm not a leader. Leaders don't do what the people always want to do. Leaders do what leaders do. The world today says, well, we're being led by people. Yeah, you're being led. You'd say, well, the Lord's leading us, but it took over 50% vote to get it. Right there's a man leading his church. I think he's done a good job. He may not be good at picking out evangelists, but he did a good job of everything else. Amen. Say amen. Brother Matt and Brother Ben did good. Amen. They sure did. You can get preachers all over this country, but you ain't going to get any better than y'all have had the last two nights, the last four nights. I don't care. You can try. You can go get all these guys high-stepping, amen, flying here on a jet, but you ain't going to get no better than what y'all had in here the last four nights. I don't care. I said that, and I believe it. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. He said, let's get to work. But here's in chapter, here's where we're all going, woo, we're working. Yeah, man, we're all up here working and we're all getting our testimonies fixed. We're in here on a Friday night praising God, shouting and raising our hands and crying amen and praising and doing all this. And then all of a sudden, right here to the left in the book of Ezra, something, let's look at it over there for just a second. I mean, all of a sudden this thing's going as good as it can get. But look in chapter 4 in the first verse. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard the children of the captivity builded the temple of the Lord, God of Israel, then they come to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said to them, let us build with you. Now I'm gonna stop right there. And they tried to, and he said, no, we have nothing with you. Now, over in chapter, and I can go back and show you places throughout the other over here in the chapter we was just in. And all of a sudden, it says in I'm going to read in Nehemiah 4:1, it says same thing in 4:1. But it came to pass when Sanballat heard that they builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. He'd rather for the wall to be broke down than to be put up. Do you think anyone that's walked in this church tonight wants the wall down rather than up? There's people set on pews in Baptist churches on Sunday that would rather walls stay down as walls be built up. If you don't believe me, an old doper walked through them doors in some churches, they'd rather them leave and go somewhere else rather than their wall to be built back up. They'd rather for those people, well, they've gone away from us. They've done this, they've done that. I tell you what, you ain't got no choice in that. What you ought to do is love everybody walks through that door and rather for the wall to be up than down. I tell you what, if we had more walls fixed back, the prisons and jails would be a lot less empty, amen. Amen. Churches are empty and jails are full. Something's wrong. I'm trying to help y'all tonight. My goodness, the retaliation. The retaliation. Here's what happened, though. In Ezra chapter 3, I'm fixing to read it to you when I find it. Verse number 11, 3:11, it says, and they sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks to the Lord because he is good and his mercy endureth toward Israel, forever toward Israel. And the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord, because the house of the Lord was laid. And many of the priests and the Levites and the children of the father who were ancient men. I'm talking about gray hair right there. Say amen. Don't make fun of it, though. You make fun of a bald head, man, the she bears will eat you. That he had seen the first house, and when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice. What? A loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy. Help me now. You get, when you get so full of joy, it's going to come out somewhere. I'm telling you, it'll pop out your ears, out your eyes, out your nose. It's coming out somewhere. It's like a 2-liter Coke when you shake it up good. You pop the top, man, it's going to go everywhere. You put something as big as God in something as small as this, it's going to come out. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy and the noise of weeping the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout and the noise was heard. Oh, the noise was what? Afar off? You think Sanballat heard it? You think the adversary heard it? What I'm trying to say here tonight is, listen, all of a sudden that foundation starts getting in a mess like this. And hey, come back and start building your wall back a little bit. Come on, help me now. You get your wall too. Get back in and start working on them. Now listen, it ain't a distraction. Y'all look, they building it back. All of a sudden Charlie's on his knees again. All of a sudden Charlie's back in the altar praying. Charlie's getting in there trying to get the joy back and the long suffering. Hey, he's trying to get back in there and get some goodness and gentleness and meekness and get some of that stuff back. And they working on it. See, we went to working on it. And somebody out there got to hearing people pray. They heard Charlie going, woo! They heard Ethan up there saying, hey man! I tell you, if you don't want the devil on you, just shut up, sit down, and never do nothing. And he won't bother you, and he won't bother your church. But as soon as you start praising God, I tell you, that's when all hell breaks loose. And the devil says, I'll stop that church. I'll stop that preacher. I'll stop that young preacher. He thinks he's a preacher now. All these little preachers going to run. Listen, guys, let me tell you something. Let the devil be their enemy, not us. They're going to have enough problems. I'm going to have enough problems. Brother Matt's going to have enough problems. Andy has enough problems without us being the problem. I support our pastor. Love him. Love Brother John. Love him, amen. The retaliation was the devil. Here's what you're doing. And all of a sudden he starts to make fun of you. I think this is chapter 2 of Nehemiah, I'm pretty sure, in verse number 19 down there. But Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, and they laughed to scorn. See, preaching's funny to somebody that's lost. Preaching the cross to them who perish foolishness, but to us who are saved, it's what? Power of God. It helps us. But they'll laugh. It's funny. Andy Riley's funny up there doing all that stuff. That's just funny. Who would listen to him? Who'd want to listen to Matt? Brother Matt get up there and preach like he does about stuff he does? That's funny. They started mocking them, making fun of them. Oh, it didn't stop there. I'm telling you, the devil works like that. Amen, but it's all right. I tell you what you do. And next time I see the devil, I'm going to rub his nose in the King James Bible while I'm singing Amazing Grace, amen. And if you see him, tell him I said, because we ain't even on talking terms, amen. Make fun of you. That's stupid. He started to mock. In chapter 4, verse 1, I didn't say that. There was mocking. But all of a sudden, look in chapter 4, verse 3. Something here that some may not notice just reading through casually. But Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. You know what he's trying to do there? They're trying to cast doubt. Yeah, y'all really thought you did something on your little walls, but if a fox run up it wouldn't even make it. See, the devil, first thing he does, you get saved, he wants you to start doubting him. But you better open that Bible, John 3:36. Bro, open that Bible up and look at the scriptures. My son had one doubt that I ever know of. He woke me up one night and said, Daddy, I'm not sure I'm saved. And I took John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? He said, yeah. I said, what's it say you got? He said, everlasting life. And I said, go to bed, son. I'll see you in the morning. Well, yeah, but he probably needed. No, he didn't need long prayer. If he don't believe the Word of God, I could talk for 2 hours. The boy wouldn't understand. If you're supposed to be saved, you should understand Scriptures. If he don't, he's still protected. But what I'm saying is the devil don't want you to know that stuff. The devil don't want a preacher that says, hey, let's not just worry about it. Maybe you are saved, but let's make sure. Let's give you security. See, some people don't know what they got. I got a guy came in from Louisiana one day to visit once, and all his family said, oh, he's lost. Get him. He needs to be saved. Got him in the office. Guy said, well, I'm saved. First thing he told me, he said, I'm saved. And I said, well, hallelujah. You trusted in Jesus as your Savior and believe in Jesus? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, according to Scriptures, you are. And that's all that matters. And he said, but I just don't know what, I don't understand it all. I don't know what I got. And I said, what's wrong is you don't know what you got. And I said, it's just like when I got my cell phone. The iPhone has got an apple with a bite on the back of it. What got us in this mess we in? An apple with a bite out or some fruit with a bite out? Okay, that's why them phones are out of hell, amen. I got one though, and they're pretty cool. But every time I don't know how to run it. Every time I don't know how to run that thing, they gave me a book about this thick with it, instruction booklet. And did you know I don't know how to use the thing? I really don't know what I got. I just know I got a phone that I can call with and text with and email, and that's about all I know. Make pictures with it. But there's a lot I don't know about that phone. But if I take that book, and start to read it. You get it, didn't you? You made it to here, I know. You start reading that book, you start understanding what you got, amen. The reason that guy didn't understand salvation and what he had, he's never sat down long enough and read the book, amen. And the last time I checked, those books are in about every language.
Right.
And even when I'm too lazy to read my book, I call my daughter Casey and say, how do I make this phone do this? Oh, I'm telling you, when I can't get it out of the book, I just go to the man, amen, that knows everything about the phone. Well, devil's going to give you doubts that if a fox runs up your wall, it's going to fall. You let me tell you something, devil. I've got a foundation that's solid that Jesus Christ built. And I've worked my butt off. And don't let that sound that bad to you. I've worked my tail off for 15 years at Maple Springs Baptist Church. And I'm telling you, I've been through some storms. And I've seen some cracks in the wall. I've felt my wall start to crack at times. I've seen some people leave. I've had people do a little bit of everything in 15 years. But by the grace of God, I'm not letting you touch my wall. I'm telling you right now, you listen to me shout. You listen to me preach. I got something worth standing for, amen. And you ain't messing with my wall, amen. Devil, you may knock a block off, but as soon as you do, I'm going to recognize it. And I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to get in my book. I'm going to preach my way through it. By the grace of God, amen. You should defend your wall, amen. Quit talking about it and do something about it. The retaliation always comes. And even in chapter 4, verse 8 down there, it says that he started to hinder it. As soon as you start trying to do something for God, you're going to have a flat tire. Your kids are going to be puking. I'll tell you what, it don't take the whole family to stay home with that one kid puking, though. You say, honey, you go on to church. I'll go tonight. Let's go to church. Let's take those germs down there. They need them. I tell them, if they ain't puking or got fever, come to church. If you're coughing, you go back in the nursery somewhere. You go back there and watch a screen. Do something, amen. You need to be in that building. Your wall should be important enough to make sure you can come to church. And reinforce that thing. Put some rebar in it. Get it strong. Strengthen it. Strengthen it. That message Sunday could have helped you. Amen. I think I'm about done. Amen. I'd rather hear about somebody getting saved at a church than to hear about some doper getting arrested and going to jail. I'd rather somebody be building their wall as tearing it down. Maybe I'm weird or something, but that's the way I feel. Amen. But the Bible even says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. One bad decision, he's got you. Now you got to start back on some of that stuff. Man, y'all, work. You got up here and worked your tail off again, Ethan. Now look, just like him. Your testimony will be destroyed in seconds. What took years to build, it takes seconds to mess up. The results was, though, in chapter 4, verse 17, and I'll get done with it here. It said, but they built it, and they built, which built it on the wall, and they which had to bear the burdens, and those laid it every one with his hands wrought in the work, and the other hand a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so he built it. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Woo, I felt something. Maybe the fan just kicked on, I don't know, but I felt something up here. What I'm trying to say is, see, the results. He had his King James Bible in one hand and worked with the other and went to working on that wall and said, listen, I got some work to do. And he said, well, you ain't got no weapon. Well, this is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing and piercing the asunder of the soul, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. I got my weapon. I got it in my holster over here. Open carry. Somebody help me. And I'm working on my wall. When I go to work that morning, I'm either going to be fighting or I'm going to be building. But I'm not going to be sitting in a lawn chair watching somebody else do it for me. It's your wall. What you going to do about your wall, Charlie? You better take care of your wall. Don't you worry about Ethan's wall. Don't sit over and worry about Ethan's wall. You may be able to help Ethan some to get back to building that wall, but you better take care of your wall. Amen. Nehemiah 6:5 says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And it come to pass, verse 16, when the enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that was about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. We've all made mistakes, and our walls get chips in it, and it all gets places that's falling apart and cracks in it. But at the end of the day, they look up and they see that solid wall Charlie's got over there, and somebody say, that was God. We can't explain it. There can't no fox knock it down. That's God. Can the devil still mess with you? Yeah. But when you stay and you protect your wall and you say, I got a job to do. Brother Matt says, I'll take care of Saffold. I'm going to protect it. I love my wall and I got to protect my wall. His wall has everything to do with Saffold Missionary Baptist Church. His wall, his wall falls down, that church will fall with it. I believe that. It'll hurt them. Brother Andy, your wall, you better take care of that wall. Protect that wall. You've done a good job from everything I've ever seen and known about you. But it don't take but one bad piece of news to make all this not. That's what you're going to do with your wall tonight. Some of y'all need to rebuild your wall. Amen. You know what revival's for? Sometimes it's come in and revive a wall, repair a wall, rebuild a wall. Oh, from the preacher down to everybody else on a pew. That's our job, get in there and get to work on that wall. Your wall's starting to look pretty bad, Ethan. You need to go to work. You don't need to miss Sunday night. You don't need to miss Wednesday night because you got some work to do. You can't build a wall for one hour a week. It's going to take some work. But when the devil hears you're shouting and doing good, you're going to stir up a hornet's nest. Let's stand tonight.